Blog Talk Radio.
Twan, we got this done. Upper class, got this on lock, baby.
I do it.
I see ya.
I do it.
I see ya. Go. Uh-huh. You know what it is. Everything I do it big. Twan done. Upper class kid. 10 bathrooms with the pool and the crib. Repping my town every time I come around. I'm in green and white, green and white, green and white, green and white. We put it down. Haters do not make it sound.
Good evening, Jets fans. I am Evan Schneider, joined by my co-host, Andrew Hufford. Huff, how are you feeling about a 34-20 win for Gangrene?
I think they looked great in that game. I was there, which is my first game that I've been to in a while, and they had a great second-half performance.
Mm-hmm. I see exactly what you're saying. For me, the way I see it, this is a game that the Jets really needed to win, to show teams around the league that, you know, the Jets are competitors. This is a team that should not be taken lightly anymore. I did not think that they should be taken lightly before this game, but if anything, the Jets have proven that they're no joke.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Washington showed that they're actually a legitimate competition this year. Like, they're not playoff contention, but they played the Falcons to overtime the week before, so they showed that they actually can play with some of the top teams right now. And the Jets really didn't let them do anything on offense.
And speaking of offense, the Jets offense was able to really be effective for them. They seemingly moved at will. At times it did get a little bit rough, but putting up 34 points is a very, very comfortable number. Talk a little bit about who impressed you on the offensive side of the ball for the Jets.
Well, you can't talk about the Jets game without talking about Chris Ivory. Like, right now, this man is a absolute monster. I mean, he put up against Miami the week before, 2 weeks ago, before the bye, he had his career high in rushing yards, which is, I believe, 164. And this week, he was not only a rushing threat with, 145 yards, he also had 50 yards receiving. So Ivory is really letting this offense run smoothly right now. He's running as good as any back in the league, no doubt, right now.
It's great to see Ivory getting things going. It's been a little bit on and off with the run game thus far, but certainly, as you said, 146 yards, 145 yards is a great number to be around, 20 carries. Thank you, John Idzik, if I can say that. I'm a big fan of Chris Ivory. He's of the caliber of players that keep their mouths shut, they run hard, and they go all out for their team. Kind of reminds me of a Marshawn Lynch a couple of years ago before he, you know, got on all those Skittles ads and whatnot. But, you know, Chris Ivory is really showing people that maybe even potential teams in the future or the Jets that he's a legitimate back and he could really warrant a nice contract. He really haul in a nice contract for himself in a couple of years.
Well, Ivory is actually a free agent after this year, along with pretty much all the rest of the Jets backs. So I think that he actually has earned himself a extension at least right now. I mean, he's played terrific.
We came into the season here thinking that Ivory would be part of a committee. I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't draft Ivory for my fantasy team. I didn't know how healthy Stephen Ridley would be, and I didn't know how Zach Stacy would be. And it turns out Ridley is getting healthy as time moves on, and Bilal Powell and Zach Stacy are pretty nice backs themselves, but the truth is that Chris Ivory is really the reason why Chris Ivory is getting, you know, all the carries here. Chris Ivory has propelled himself into that you know, lead back role, and I'm proud of Chris Ivory, and you know, it's better this way than Chris Ivory having to get more carries because his backups aren't suitable. And obviously, as I said, that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, Ivory, he's certainly looked like one of the best backs in the league right now. And the funny thing is I did actually draft him in my fantasy league, and then I traded him the week before the Miami game. So I definitely regret that now because I think this guy is going to be putting up big numbers all year.
Well, I'm feeling your pain with the running backs. Not to get too off tangent here, I did trade Devontae Freeman in my league before he went off to become the best player so far this season. But back to Ivory, I did not know he was a free agent after this season. That's certainly convenient to him. Maybe even the Saints would take another look at him. I'm not sure how their running back situation's panning out. I know CJ Spiller isn't really playing up to the expectation that they thought he'd be. But not just Ivory is to, you know, give all the – it's not Ivory who deserves all the credit here. The offensive line has really picked up its game collectively.
Yeah, on both the running and passing offense, they look great. They look so good. They've only allowed 2 sacks this year. Ivory is just hitting holes. He has holes to hit this year, which is, like, such a nice commodity for a running back to have. As you saw with DeMarco Murray last year, where he was able to become the leading rusher in the league because his offensive line was creating these monstrous holes that he could run through. And now this year, he is not getting any rushing room to do everything himself, and his yardage total has gone completely down. The offensive line is making this much easier on Ivory.
And I find it great that this isn't an offensive line that's really star-studded anymore. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, obviously, his best days are probably over. The same can be said for Nick Mangold, who's still playing dominant football, don't get me wrong, but he's well into his 30s here. And James Carpenter is a terrific player, but I'm not really seeing any top talent here, and the fact that they're playing together the way that they have so far is really nice to see from an offensive standpoint, because we're not really used to offensive lines bulldozing like they have this year.
Definitely. They've put together such a competent line, like one of the better ones in the entire league so far, and without any definitive stars right now, besides, I guess, Mangold, looked great. I mean, Carpenter has looked like a terrific accusation by Mac, and I'm excited to see if they can continue this going forward.
And, you know, standing at 4 wins and 1 loss, I have a lot of confidence, which, you know, it's a relief to say because I don't get to say it very often, but not just in the offensive line, in the team as a whole, because this is really turning into a bully of a team. They're not really letting up on defense. As if I could just read off some stats here, the defense is statistically the best in the league. I believe they're number one in points allowed, meaning they've allowed the least points. Number one in red zone. And they haven't let up any points in the third quarter this season, which I did not know prior to a couple of minutes ago, which I thought would be a more out there kind of stat, I guess you could say. But 0 points in the third quarter, that's the quarter before it really all comes down to, it's really the quarter before everything is decided. And the Jets are giving up 0 points. They're putting themselves in the position to win games down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, the last 2 games they've gone into halftime with a close game, and I don't know what adjustments Todd Bowles is making, but the offense is coming out slinging, they're scoring, and then the defense is just shutting the other team down. They look terrific after the third quarter, and it's setting them up to win games.
And the fact that Sheldon Richardson has come back, I mean, oh my. The defense was great before, and now that they have Richardson back, didn't play spectacularly last game. He had half a sack, though, which is pretty nice. The Jets only had 1 sack. He shared that one with Sheldon Muhammad Wilkerson. So, you know, I cannot wait to see Sheldon's presence felt. He certainly makes Muhammad play better. It's really nice to see this team coming together. Hopefully, the team's had pretty nice health. That they've knock on wood, I know. I'd like to see that continue. There are a lot of effective players on this team that are really contributing to the 4 wins the Jets have. And if this team can stay healthy, this team can stay focused, I don't see why the wins can't keep on coming.
I agree. I think Bowles, with the coaching that he's been doing so far, has been incredible. He's been using all the players that he has, all the assets in his arsenal to really make it a terrible, terrible time for the opposing offense. I mean, we played, I believe, like 19 total snaps with four defensive linemen before this week. But then once Sheldon returned, I believe like we played like 76 snaps or so with, or 76% of snaps, I mean, with four linemen on defense.
Right.
And I just think like that just shows like that kind of adjustment, even when things are going well, shows that Bowles understands how to utilize all his weapons.
And I tip my cap to Woody Johnson and the people he hired to work under him to, you know, really conduct a staff overhaul. I believe Ron Wolf was one of them. Some other guy that I'm blanking on right now, Charlie Casserly, former GM of the Texans who worked with Mike Maccagnan. I credit all of them for bringing in a coach that isn't just, you know, doesn't just have a nice resume, isn't just a player's coach, but a guy who really can, schematically speaking, can really make this team effective. Bowles knows how to use these players. And the players that he didn't think he had, he went out and got. So he got Revis and got Cromartie, got Screen, mixed with the ferocious defensive line. This has really proven to be, so far, the right hire.
I agree, and I also think that the hiring of I'm blanking on the name, offensive coordinator,
Chan Gailey,
yeah. I think that he has done a terrific job this season because he, as seasons progressed, he's definitely seen his limitations with his players. He understands that, like, the throws that Fitzcannon can't make, and he's making it much simpler for him by giving him throws that are quite easy, to be exact. Like, he's by crossing both Marshall and Decker, he's often finding wide open targets, and that's, I think, props to Chan Gailey for doing that. That's incredible.
And you bring up a great point. Fitzpatrick obviously isn't the same young guy he used to be. Not that he was some Pro Bowler. Actually, he might have been to one Pro Bowl when he was on the Bills. I'm not sure about that, but he was never an all-pro caliber kind of player. But Gailey is aware that he has a quarterback who has some health issues with that knee that he had surgery on over the offseason, knows he's not the deep threat passer, even though he will have Fitzpatrick take the occasional jab downfield. And he's really allowing Fitzpatrick to play comfortably, and he's not making him do anything crazy. He's giving him good check down routes, guys across the middle, having Decker and Marshall do a lot of work that they can really handle because great receivers do great work. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't being put in a position to make any mistakes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, they're really making it simple for him. They're making the job easy by giving him, like, easy throws to these terrific receivers that he has. And also they're giving him a check down option, and they're never really making him force throws, which we saw a ton with Geno Smith last year, especially that three-interception game versus Buffalo. They had him forcing it to Percy Harvin almost every play, which I'm just so glad that we don't have to deal with that anymore, because that clearly does not work in an NFL offense.
No, it does not. And that being said, is this Ryan Fitzpatrick's job? Not just his job to lose, but is this his job permanently? Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick should be the starter for the 2015-2016 New York Jets?
I think with what he's done so far, he's definitely earned the starting job for the rest of the year. I think he's shown that he can lead this team, and even with some mistakes, because there have been some mistakes, as the Eagles game, it could be attributed to him, but he does make a lot of great plays. He does enough to win this team most games, win most games for this team.
And no disrespect to Ryan here, but I say yes only because I don't really feel like the Jets have a serviceable backup in this situation. Last year, the Cardinals had Drew Stanton, I believe it was, who came in for Carson Palmer. He wasn't great. I don't think he won them many games, but he did his job, and I'm not sure Geno Smith can come in relief and do his job. Mets relief pitchers, you know, they're doing their job. But, I'm not sure Geno Smith can preserve wins to this team. I think that he can create losses And that's something that Fitzpatrick has been very careful not to do. And obviously, Bryce Petty does not seem to be ready. He hasn't been activated for a game this season, unless it was one of the first couple of weeks when Geno was hurt. I'm not sure there. I think Fitzpatrick needs to stay healthy, and this is his job. Like it or not, Jets fans, unless we're trading here for, I don't know, Drew Brees, all your first-round picks, take on all of that dead cap weight, which isn't going to happen. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think with Geno, his physical talent is – he has some great physical talent. He can – there's so many throws that I've seen Fitzpatrick miss or, like, make barely that I know Geno could have probably thrown a touchdown with the arm that he has. But Fitzpatrick plays a mental game, and that's what Geno just lacks completely. Fitzpatrick really avoids mistakes by thinking everything through. He's able to slow down the game and – like, really manage it. He's a great game manager, which Geno cannot do.
And this is the kind of team that you want a veteran to command, because veterans aren't going to make those same rookie mistakes that Geno Smith somehow makes in, you know, year two and probably would make in year three. Ryan Fitzpatrick knows how to handle these kinds of situations. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to lose this team games. If anything, you know, he's been red hot in the red zone, equally distributing to Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall. They can't complain. Chan Gailey can't complain because the Jets are winning games and they're driving the ball down the field. And really nobody around the Jets can complain because this team is 4-4-4-1. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut on major issues until this team has forced me to otherwise. And right now it doesn't look like that's going to happen so quickly, but hey, it's football. You know, you have 16 games and things change quickly.
Exactly. I definitely understand what you mean there.
Mm-hmm. And I said I wasn't going to dive too deeply into the negatives of this team, but while we're sort of on the topic here, I know you're very opinionated on Devin Smith and his presence early on as a rookie with this team. What do you think's going on?
I just don't think that they really have the tools to get the ball to him because he's really solely a deep threat. That's what he does. That's what he's good at. He's probably one of the best ball trackers I've ever seen. But Fitzpatrick just doesn't have that arm. That's not part of his arsenal. He can't do it. So I would like to see what kind of role Gailey can carve out for him, because this guy is a speedster. He can really run with the ball. So I'm really wondering what kind of niche they can find for a guy like Devin Smith.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was certainly drafted on this team, not just for his special teams prowess, but for the offensive ability that he put on display on Ohio State University's the Ohio State University's national championship team last year. And unfortunately, we're not seeing that yet. I agree it could have some things to do with the fact that the Jets are going up early in some games and there's really no reason to air the ball out. And, you know, it's very likely that Ryan Fitzpatrick, given the reputation of his arm, he has had, to his credit, he has had some nice throws, but I guess there really isn't a reason to just try to test seeing if he can overthrow it just in case he underthrows it and corners cut back and catch that ball. There's really no reason to have turnovers, even though he has, I believe, 7 interceptions on the year, give or take a few there. Devin Smith is a fine football player, and just because he hasn't gotten in rhythm so far with this team, I wouldn't take it too seriously. We've seen many rookies with this Jets team. Even Muhammad Wilkerson got off to a little bit of a slow start as a rookie with the Jets, I believe. Don't hold me to that. But, you know, he's a fast player, and he has good hands, so I don't see why he can't succeed. Especially with Quincy Enunwa, the Jets receiver who is suspended 4 games, is going out when the Jets use their 4 wide receiver sets. And even Owusu is still week to week as far as I know. I don't see why Devin Smith can't emerge as a third receiver right now. This is his time, considering everyone else who's out.
I just think that for Devin, he basically has a speed to play slot, but his thing his whole career, or at least at Ohio State, he's been an outside guy who you just throw it too deep and trust him. And so far, when they've done that, Fitzpatrick has thrown a few underthrows that way, and I believe maybe he got picked one time. So I just think Devin Smith just really hasn't been given the opportunity so far to make a play. And I would like to see him like get an opportunity, but I'm honestly fine with them not taking the risk of an interception or turnover.
Do you think eventually down the road that he'll have some potential with this team? Maybe not with Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing him the ball, but do you think he, somewhere down the road, is a part of the Jets' plans?
I definitely think so, because I think that if he spends this year working on his routes and such, like learning how to utilize his speed to trick corners, then I do think that he has the pure talent, the pure speed, pure, like, natural ability to track the ball, and then his hands are incredible. So I think that he has the physical talent to be a good wide receiver.
And, you know, time will tell. And, you know, Devin Smith has been playing Division I football with the best team in the country, and he's playing with a good NFL team now. So I guess we'll see what he's able to do. And another offensive woe for this team has been the tight end position, a position that really hasn't been utilized with Chan Gailey. He did have a pretty nice tight end over there in Buffalo with Scott Chandler, who's now a little bit older and playing a reduced role in New England. But we really haven't seen, I believe Jeff Cumberland has 2 receptions for 10 yards on the season. So he's not going on my Pro Bowl ballot there. So, what do you think? What do you think's going on at the tight end position? Why isn't Gailey trying to create something?
I think that he does not trust Cumberland or Callan Davis to really be a receiving threat, or trust them to also block. Like, I know Callan Davis can block, but he cannot receive, and then Cumberland's the opposite. He's shown that he can receive in his career, but he cannot block at all. He's one of the worst blocking tight ends in the league. So I just think that the lack of versatile tight end has really made him, instead of trying to make something, he's decided to take one of his other superior talents at wide receiver and put it into a similar role. Like, Decker has been like a dump-off option on a lot of these, where tight end is usually the option, like an easy option for a quarterback. Decker has been in a lot of those situations, and they a lot of times send the running back out there to be an easy dump-off option.
And I'll tell you, man, it certainly doesn't help when you're arguably your two most – actually, probably not even arguably – your two most pass-threatening, I guess you could say, tight ends, the guys who are going to go out and they're gonna beat linebackers in coverage, whether it be zone or man, really with Jason Morrow and Zach Sudfeld, 2 very athletic kids. Sudfeld with a torn ACL in training camp, and Amaro, I think it was a shoulder, not quite sure there, but those are 2 very creative young kids, and to lose both of them, they're very hard to replace. There aren't many terrific receiving tight ends in this league anymore, and many of them are old. You look at Gary Barnage on Cleveland, who's somehow finding a niche in Cleveland under Kyle Shanahan, and you have Antonio Gates, who's certainly winding down in his career. Obviously Gronk, who we'll get to a little bit later in the show. The guy's a freak. It's very hard to find a nice tight end, especially when 2 of them on your team go down in training camp. So, like you said, Chan Gailey has been creative getting his underneath guys, getting guys to fill the void, and Eric Decker's a really flexible player. To those who have been listening to my show in weeks prior, I'm a big fan of Eric Decker. He's really a guy who does it all, goes all out for his team, willing to do whatever. Kept his mouth shut pretty much all of last year, even though this Jets team really did not want it. And he came back this year, focused, ready to play football, and, you know, he's making a lot of money, and I think that he's really putting his best foot forward here in New York.
I definitely agree that I think Decker has been a great player so far this season. He's had a red zone touchdown in every single game that he's played in so far. He's definitely doing what he does best, is catching touchdowns, boxing out his corners with his size, his frame, and using his hands, which is, like, he's been catching some good balls this year. And I think it's just so nice to see him after last year, where people were very critical about him being, like, not a true number one and stuff, see him back in that number two role where he's clearly more comfortable and he's thriving.
Well, I could tell you one thing. Someone's been watching some tape on Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and the Denver Broncos. That would be Chan Gailey, who's really, I'm not going to say he's been able to replicate it because he's kind of missing the Demaryius Thomas and the Peyton Manning, but he's really put Decker in a comfortable situation where Marshall's consistently getting around double-digit receptions and even targets per game, and that's really opening it up for Decker in the red zone. And Decker's skilled enough to the point that, you know, you're gonna drape Marshall in defense. He's gonna embarrass you. Decker's gonna embarrass you. And as long as teams are gonna continue doubling Marshall, Decker's gonna keep doing what he does. And if defenders drape over Decker, then Marshall's gonna keep doing what he does. And Chan Gailey he's really been doing well with two terrific targets. I can't knock him for anything, because these guys are scoring touchdowns and they're putting up 6 points.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think one thing that I wanted to touch back on was the tight end. There was some talk this week about Vernon Davis. He was being shopped. I was wondering what you think about him as an option for just like a filler for like half a year.
Ugh, I hate it. Why disrupt this team? I haven't been a fan of the Davis brothers. Vontae, his cornerback brother on the Colts, he's been a little bit streaky. But back to Vernon, excuse me. He hasn't really been relevant the past couple of years. He's got an attitude. This Jets team is pretty selfless. This team is compiled with locker room guys, and, you know, I'm not sure who Vernon Davis is looking out for. Is he looking out for the New York Jets if he was on this team, or is he looking out for Vernon Davis, the guy who, as you mentioned, is going to be a free agent next year, looking for one last big payday before he calls it quits? That's basically my concern there. This team's been rolling without a tight end, and Vernon Davis is not going to be the cure here.
I definitely agree. I do think that I would be happy to see some young guy brought in. I mean, I know the Ravens have four tight ends that have all been putting up. I mean, at least three of them who have been playing have all shown great promise. Now Dennis Pitta, who has shown Pro Bowl potential in the past, is coming back from injury this week. I could see the Jets going after one of their four, but I mean, in the long run of this year, I think that they can go the rest of the year with the way the tight end position is like right now. I could see them just basically using Kellen Davis as an extra blocker, or dumping it off to Cumberland once every three games, and it's working as long as they still have other dump off options. And Gailey has been creative so far, and I think that they can keep going with that.
If the Jets are really that concerned with getting a veteran receiving tight end option, why not look further than Ben Watson? He had a very, very respectable game in New Orleans last week. He's replacing Jimmy Graham, which is obviously not an easy job to do over there with Drew Brees and Sean Payton in New Orleans. And, you know, over the years, what I've heard about Watson is that he's really been a team guy. And that's really the message that I sense from Todd Bowles, that he's trying to stress to this Jets roster that as long as this team plays together and they battle for each other, they really can't be broken. There's talent in that locker room. It's clear to them, anyone who watches on TV, the broadcasters, this is a strong team. And whether they get a tight end or not. It's going to have to be someone that understands that the New York Jets are an unbreakable team.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that the Jets this year, with what they've shown so far, they're definitely a contender for the playoffs and on. I think that
absolutely.
I could see them, if not this year, they look like a team that has the talent to be a Super Bowl contender, or like an actual Super Bowl like option that can be in the foreseeable future.
Well, we'll talk more about our Jets predictions coming up, and we'll also be talking about the Jets matchup with the Patriots in Foxborough next Sunday. So stay tuned with us here, and we'll be right back.
Work it, make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger. That
don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a f*** what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real s*** anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now, that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this place. So go ahead, go nuts, go ace. Sexy in my pastel on my basis. Act like you can't care who made this. New gospel, homie, take six. And take this, haters.
That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya.
Like right now. I don't know if you got a man or not. If you made plans or not. If God put me in your plans or not. I'm tripping, this drink got me saying a lot. But I know that God put you in front of me. So how the hell could you front on me? It's 1,000 years, it's only one of me. I'm tripping, I'm caught up in the moment, right? Cause it's Louis Vuitton dine night. So we gon' do everything the kind like. Heard they do anything for a Klondike. Well, I'd do anything for a blind eye. And she'll do anything for the limelight. And we'll do anything when the time's right. Baby, you're making it
smaller, better, faster, stronger.
Oh, that don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya.
Like I never told ya.
Don't
act like I
never
told ya.
And we are back. At this point in time, we're going to shift things over from the Redskins matchup of last week to the Jets face-off with the New England Patriots this coming Sunday. So if you do want to call us or if you want to send us your questions via our chat room, you can do that. But if you do want to call us, our guest call-in number is 347-945-6325. Again, that is 347-945-6325. What more is there to say about this Patriots team? They're doubted every year. Not that I want to suck up to the Patriots right now. But you can't really question them when Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are gearing up for Sunday, and that's really the way it's been with many player coach tandems throughout history, quarterback coach tandems throughout history, and you know we're seeing obviously a legacy here in New England, And Tom Brady recently said with a dead serious face to reporters that he wants to play 10 more years. And there wasn't a smile on his face. That was serious right there. He thinks that he's obviously he's healthy. He's having another all-pro year. And he thinks he can go on for a decade more. And that being said, he only has one interception on the year, and that's off a weird play by Julian Edelman where he kind of bobbled the ball a little bit, left it up there, and it wasn't really even Brady's fault, other than the fact that Edelman wasn't really running well that day. So maybe, you know, it was a bit of a hard route for him to run. But Tom Brady is having another, well, I'm not going to say flawless, but phenomenal year. And I'm just asking you, Huff, is there a way to stop number 12?
I just think so far this year and in general, Tom has really been avoiding the rush. And in the past, when the Jets have beaten the Patriots, which is what Rex really keyed on, he really, really liked to play the Patriots. They just loved to send pressure after Brady, get him hit early, because that they know that, that does not happen very often with him, as he's definitely one of the best guys in the league at avoiding getting hit. He's been moving around in the pocket very effectively recently. But I think that you have to go after him and make sure to get some QB hurries and QB hits in, just so he knows that there's that impending pressure coming.
And that's really the only way to get him rattled, to try to get him jump out of his skin a little bit. He's missing his left tackle, his blindside protector, and Nate Solder. That guy can ball. He's a great player. And, you know, I heard that. I believe their Solder's backup is either not doing well health-wise or grasping the system well. This needs to be exploited immediately. Needless to say, because this is a defensive line that matches up very, very well, I think, with the Patriots offensive line. And in years past, it hasn't always been that way with the Jets and Patriots. The Patriots, Bill Belichick loves to bully in the trenches. And the way the Jets have been winning, the way the Jets have put up number one defensive numbers is through starting in the trenches, owning there, then owning on the second level, then owning in the third level. And, you know, if the Jets can continue that success against the Patriots, then I don't see why Tom Brady can't throw for – why the Jets can't hold Tom Brady for under 300 yards. It's tough to do, especially since the 38, 39-year-old is still playing like he's 27, 28. But, you know, it's Tom Brady. It's nothing we're not used to. When the Jets played the Patriots in the 2010 playoffs or 2011 playoffs, that wasn't easy, but David Harris caught a nice interception, fooled Brady a little bit there. And all it takes is a few plays. You know, you own the field. You string together a couple of nice possessions on both sides of the ball, and that's how you beat the Patriots, because I believe that the Jets can hold them to 2-3 touchdowns.
Not only is Brady a terrific quarterback, Josh McDaniels is doing a similar job to Chan Gailey this year, and he's also, in addition to having him be a terrifically, incredibly talented quarterback, he's also allowing him to get, completely open receivers. They're doing these crossing routes that just confuse the corners. He's really getting wide open players, which just makes it so much easier for a player that's already so incredible. And that's why their offense has been unstoppable this year, because not only are they taking, the mainly conservative approach and basically giving it to their playmakers, they're also doing it deep on throws that they know Tom Brady can make.
Well, McDaniels knows that he has a quick team. His receivers are athletes. They're track stars. Deion Lewis, Julian Edelman, both really, really quick guys. And it's very hard for teams to stay up with one of them, you know, let alone both of them. So that being said, Huff, how do the Jets, I guess, limit the burnings of Julian Edelman and Deion Lewis and even Rob Gronkowski, who isn't overly fast, but just a physical freak?
Well, with Deion Lewis and with Edelman, they just have to it's big if Screen plays, because Screen will have that matchup with Edelman, and Screen is a very quick guy as well, so he can keep up with Edelman, but he is under the concussion protocol right now. He has a concussion, and I just really hope that we can have him for that game, because not only can he cover the slot very well, he's also one of our best rushers. He's the way he's rushing, because Bowles is sending him on a blitz a lot of the time, and he's very quick off the line, and he's doing a great job getting the quarterback and causing mistakes. So I think that's a huge factor into stopping Edelman. For Deion Lewis, they just have to make sure that they have eyes on him at all times, because this guy is so quick, and if we give him even an opportunity, like a little bit of an opportunity to get the ball in the open field, his agility is ridiculous. And he can get the ball, advance the ball downfield with ease, this guy. I mean, I really think that they should dedicate a linebacker to keeping their eyes on him at all times.
And I'm glad you brought up Buster Screen here. Jets really took him to the bank with the contract offer that they gave him, paying him a large sum of money over, I believe it's 4 or 5 years with the Jets. And I believe that he was signed to that contract for games like these, like this one coming up this Sunday. And it's a shame that he might not be fully healthy enough to, pass through the concussion protocol and play. But I really hope he can, because he gives the Jets so many options. Tom Brady and really any quarterback that lines up opposite him really needs to keep an eye on Buster Screen. Because not only is he a phenomenal nickelback and slot corner, he can also get from point A to point B in the blink of an eye. He has great explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. He's had a couple of nice QB pressures. I think he's had a couple of sacks on the season, and especially with a pretty tight secondary and ball hawking safety in Marcus Gilchrist, it's going to be hard for offenses to work out of third and long plays. So if Buster Screen can apply pressure to Tom Brady and then confuse him sometimes by dropping back and helping cover Edelman or maybe even a little bit of Gronk, I want to see Buster Screen all over the place, and he needs to get better for this team because he is so valuable.
Yeah, he's been huge so far for the game plan and a prolific passing offense that we are playing this week. It's so vital for him to be there because he's such a huge part of the team, as he's shown so far. He's really earning some of that, like most of that money that he's getting. He's getting a lot of money that a lot of people were critical of. But the way he's been playing so far and what he's added to this defense is something that is really, really worth so much. He's been such a terrific asset to have on the field. He's so versatile in his ability to rush, like off the edge, and then also cover dropping back or cover the middle of the field. He's been just so good, and it's really been impressive. I hope he plays.
Screen's one of those rare examples where you tell him to go do something and he'll do it regardless of what the assignment is. You tell him to drop back, cover the deep third, he'll cover the deep third. You tell him to press the slot, he'll press the slot. You tell him to lay off the flat, and he'll do that too. Buster Screen he'll go all out for his team. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, this has been a defense and even a team that's been, going all out each week. Guys who will do what they're told to do, and they won't question it. And that's really a credit to Todd Bowles here. I give him all the credit there, because I don't know how closely you've been following the situation up in Buffalo with the Jets' former head coach, Rex Ryan, who's now the head honcho up there in Buffalo. His defensive captain, the guy that Terry Pegula is paying a lot of money, I believe over $100 million, Mario Williams, that is, was signed to play for Buffalo. He has come out publicly and said that he's questioning what Rex Ryan is having him do, and that would be dropping in coverage when a guy like Mario Williams is one of the most highly regarded pass rushers in the NFL. And Rex has come out after that and said that, hey, listen, I'm not a perfect play caller. I was hired on to do this job, and I'm doing the best I can, but I'm not perfect. And, you know, I was just wondering what you think about that, and put it into perspective here with Todd Bowles and how players have really been all in with what he's been trying to instill.
I think that so far Bowles has done a terrific job in making us really forget about what we're missing with Rex. Like I enjoyed the persona for a little bit of being like of how funny he was, the attitude that we had, but really the difference right now between then when we had that swagger, as some might say, but people were also calling us a circus. Like it's mm-hmm. just so different because now this team is like quiet; they're not chirping all the time, as Rex really encouraged them to do, and they're really backing up anything that they do say, and they're backing up their silence really by performing on the field. So I think that Bowles so far has made us not regret anything with the firing of Rex.
And Nick Mangold, I remember Nick Mangold saying in the offseason that it really makes a difference to have a player head coach, a guy who played in the NFL, and Todd Bowles played, I believe he played over a decade in the National Football League. Eric Mangini obviously did not play. Rex Ryan, I believe, played in college. I see where he's coming from. You know, he went through the same grind that they did. He knows what's up. He's aware. He's very with it. He's a strong mind. He's a strong person. And he demands the same from his players. And not many coaches are like that. Year in and year out, we see guys who lose complete control over the locker room. I remember towards the end of Jim Harbaugh's reign in San Francisco, there were guys who really just didn't want to play for him anymore. And even guys who retired after he left. I don't know, maybe he – I don't really know what went on there in San Francisco. Maybe he made his guys lose their passion for the game. I couldn't tell you. But I know guys who play under Todd Bowles, even in Arizona, you got Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson to really play great football. And he's getting the guys, getting Screen, getting Marcus Gilchrist, and even Calvin Pryor, guys who haven't always been highly regarded football players, to really get the best out of themselves.
I think that, like, Bowles also, people who play under him do love him. I mean, Cromartie came back to a team that really just disrespected him last year with open arms, like a team that cut him when they had deep cornerback problems, just the like ultimate disrespectful move. And he just came back the very next year with open arms to his defensive coordinator and Todd Bowles. Another thing with Todd Bowles that I think is huge is that not only was he a player, is that he was part of a Super Bowl winning team. And he knows what an organization is, what a team is like that can win the championship. So I think he understands more than a normal player. He knows what you have to do.
And I know it's early, but what is it going to take for the Jets to even think about getting to that point that Todd Bowles has been to, that promised land? What is it going to take?
I think just the defense is there. I think the offense just needs to cut out the mistakes. Really, if they can keep up this consistency of the last few games versus some of the top teams in the league, I really think that this team is terrific. But as we've seen, Fitzpatrick does make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't make a lot. He makes mistakes, though, and it can cost us. And if just one game in the playoffs, an interception is huge. Against these top teams in the league, making mistakes just can't happen. You have to be pretty much perfect to win the Super Bowl. And that's why, like, the quarterback position is definitely what's holding us back right now.
Well, I'll go ahead and say I'm not quite sure it's the quarterback position. I'm saying it's mental for this team. That's the only thing that can get in the way of a successful Jets run is themselves. I see the talent. As you said, the defense is there. This defense can get it. If the defense can get it through their head, get it through its head, that playing together, playing in harmony, playing Jets football as new Jets football, not same old Jets. This is Jets football that we're watching here. This is what I regard as Jets football, the same kind of smash mouth defense that we saw in 2009, up in your face, swarming around the ball, punishing receivers. This is what it takes. That kind of defense. Defense wins championships. The Broncos. Peyton Manning isn't playing great right now. His defense is pretty much the reason why he's undefeated. They generate points, and this Jets team generates turnovers, which in turn generate points. So I see a lot of similarities there. Like we saw in the Redskins game, out of their 20 points, all 20 of them were out of all 20 Redskins points, every single point was scored via Jets turnover. Whether it be a punt blocked in the end zone, recovered for a touchdown, or fumble by Marshall, fumble by Decker, this Jets team needs to stay focused because the defense is going to keep them in game.
Yeah, I definitely think that the defense that they have right now being the best in the league, they are going to be in any game that they play. And their defense is not going to be the thing that loses them games. It's just that their offense has to deliver on the opportunity that's being given to them. Like, versus the Eagles, we did have an opportunity to win. And the offense just could not capitalize. They just made mistakes, and that's why we didn't win that game. And that's what I think will ultimately lose us games this year, is if our offense cannot capitalize on the chances the defense gives them.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a long season ahead. Not going to focus too much time here on a Super Bowl run when the season is just over a quarter way done in the books. So back to Jets' matchup with the Patriots. We've spent a lot of time talking about the offense that Tom Brady and McDaniels have formulated this season, evolving to new talents every year. With the loss of Vereen and Ridley, they bring in Deion Lewis and retain LeGarrette Blount, and they make things happen. But my favorite story out of the Patriots, and the one that really is, I think, is not talked about enough, is Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator. We saw the Malcolm Butler play, arguably the most memorable Super Bowl play to this date, single play in the Super Bowl to this date, where he had Malcolm Butler jumping around in the end zone to solidify Super Bowl win. Fourth Super Bowl win for the New England Patriots, and he has not missed a beat with his defense this year. The Patriots are playing sound defensive football, developing their young guys really nicely. Dont'a Hightower, Chandler Jones, and Jamie Collins, who had a terrific play on a block kick, very athletic play. They're all three of those guys are very athletic, and they're all dangerous. And when Jerod Mayo is like an average player on your defense, you know that your defense is pretty nice in football.
Yeah, I mean, it has been pretty impressive what they've been able to do because people were very critical of their cornerbacks, and they do have subpar cornerbacks right now. They don't have a true number one, which Malcolm Butler has taken that role this year. But they've still been playing some great football on defense. Last week was not terrific as the Colts didn't hit offensive stride. And I'm hoping that the Jets can do that as well, like through the air and on the ground. Because, what the Patriots do, they get to the quarterback a lot. I mean, Chandler Jones is a great pass rusher. And then Ninkovich on the edge has killed the Jets in the past. He's been, such a presence. I believe he won a game for them a few years ago by causing a fumble in overtime on Sanchez. And I just think that they're also – it's honestly scary how good they are right now at developing their young talent. I mean, Jamie Collins, Dont'a Hightower, Chandler Jones, Devin McCourty, they're all developing they've all developed at least already, into great players in this league. So I don't know if they keep continuing that and they create a great defense, it's going to be hard to stop.
Mm-hmm. And, a team that can play both ways is really a threat, not just for a Week 7 matchup, but moreover for, deep Super Bowl, a deep playoff run. and Patriots are primed for deep runs every year, as we've seen and suffered. But yeah, I mean, it should be it's going to be a very entertaining Sunday matchup, because these are two teams. I remember the 9-2 versus 9-2 game, Jets versus Patriots, and the Jets just got blown out. I think it was a 42-3 game. The Patriots just blew the Jets out, and I believe that was the year that the Jets rallied back and beat the Patriots in the playoffs, that 2010-2011 season. And it's that just goes to show that it's a long season, and teams that look 1,000 yards ahead of the other one week can be 1,000 yards behind that team later on in the season. So that's the beauty of the sport. We don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. All I know, at least, is that Todd Bowles is going to put his Jets defense and Chan Gailey is going to put the Jets offense in very, very comfortable positions going into this very important game.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Todd Bowles is his first game as head coach against the Patriots, obviously. And last year, as defensive coordinator, he did not get the chance to play the Patriots with his Arizona defense that he really did turn into a terrific unit. So I do think that there could be a learning curve, at least at the beginning of the game, to get a feel for what they're putting out there. I mean, studying film can't give you everything from the looks that the Patriots are giving you and their adjustments that they make each game to really battle the defense and counter what the defense their plan is. So I think that Bowles, it'll be a game where we see the kind of adjustments he can make. We see how good a coach he really is and how good this team really is by watching it. And I'm very excited to see what happens.
I like that you bring up how we can see the kind of coach that Todd Bowles is in this game. Will he stand down to Bill Belichick like Rex Ryan has done in the past? When I remember him saying at times that he just got out coached. He said that a couple of times during his tenure in New York. And even Chuck Pagano, who got intimidated and got intimidated by Bill Belichick and run whatever you want to call that punt play. I don't even know what I saw on my TV. I don't even know. Is it a punt play? Is it just I'm gonna move past that. But Bill Belichick can bully coaches. That's what I'm trying to say here. And he can dictate what they do. It's one big game of chess for Bill Belichick, and he's the best in the world at it right now. So, you know, Todd Bowles in his first matchup with Bill Belichick as a head coach, he's gonna see Belichick, Bowles that is gonna see Belichick a couple more times before, hopefully only a couple more times before Belichick calls it quits. Which, as Brady said, he doesn't want to quit. I believe Belichick is of the same nature, kind of guy who's gonna work till the very end of it. He's gonna see him a lot. The two are gonna see each other a good amount of times. So why not start out with a bang?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I really hope that make a effective game plan that can counter the Patriots' offense. And I know that sounds almost impossible, but with the defense that we have this year and how they're playing together, I think if any team can do it, it's this team. This team, their defense has been playing so well together. All really in sync, the defensive line, the corners, safeties, linebackers, it's all been in sync. There have been very little mental mistakes, which has just been so nice, and that's what the Patriots really capitalize on. So if the Jets can avoid that, then it all really comes to their offense.
This team is resilient. This 2015 Jets team is not afraid to battle from behind. They don't care if they're down in a game in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, even the fourth quarter. This Jets team is going to play till to the last whistle. That Philadelphia Eagles game I thought was one of the Jets' better games. Obviously they lost. That's their lone win thus far in the season. But I am so proud of the second half effort that the Jets put in. I it was really tough to watch in the first half. Needless to say, that was as bad a first half as I've seen in a while from this Jets team, definitely all season. But second half, they were really able to buckle down. And there were a couple of chances where the Jets had to tie and even go up against the Eagles after going down 24-0, I believe, was the score at halftime. Or 24-10 it might have been. Something along some score along those lines. But that should just prove that the Jets are going to be a battling team. And I'm sure Tom Brady sees it. Bill Belichick sees it. They're both film geeks. So they definitely see the passion that the Jets are playing with. And I'm not going to go ahead and say that they're scared, but I know for a fact that Bill Belichick will not take this Jets team lightly, like he almost most definitely did last year.
Well, I think that it's like a new rivalry is kind of developing, as this team, the Jets team, really does look like a contender. The Patriots really kind of disregarded the Jets and just kind of wanted to stick it to Rex Ryan last year, as he did his usual trash talking. But both the games were close, as you saw, because I don't think the Patriots treated it as big of a challenge as it was, and Rex really knows how to coach against the Patriots. So I do think that a new type of rivalry is developing, where it's, instead of like a pure hatred, as it's been just because of kind of Rex and what he's been, and the trash talk that he's been putting out there, it's now based off of just solely the wanting to beat each other, to beat each other down, just because you know you have respect for your opponent, you know how good they are, and you want to prove how good you are.
And you say that very nicely. Both teams know how disciplined the other is. Both teams know how much this game means. This is their first of two matchups in the regular season. Whether they'll see each other again later on, obviously has yet to be seen, but this is the closest the Jets might get all season to a playoff-type game without going to the playoffs, obviously, because we don't know how that will pan out later on. And, yeah, this will have a playoff atmosphere to it. Going to Foxborough, to Gillette, it's probably going to be very cold. I haven't read the weather reports yet. We'll see how the Jets do in moderately cold weather. They kind of lucked out not having to go to Philadelphia in mid-December. That's always nice. This is a very important game, not just for the teams, but for the fans. I'm sure Patriots fans are dying to get a shot at the Jets to prove that 4-1 doesn't mean anything. The Patriots are still the superior team in the division, and yada, yada, yada. You know how Patriots like to ramble on. Patriots fans like to ramble on there. But as a Jets fan, this has been the first matchup in a few years where I'm kind of feeling the same way. Like, you know what? I want to play the Patriots now. I want to see if my Jets team can shut up the Patriots. Because honestly, I feel like, you know, they're coming off a suit. They haven't lost a game that mattered, not counting the preseason, since when? December? Maybe November?
I believe it's been almost like a year, yeah. It's almost a year
exactly.
Since they've lost the game.
Exactly. So I'm sure Todd Bowles has been reiterating this to his players. Why not us? Why not the Jets? Bring the Patriots back down to earth, because they're a very nice team. Evidently, very nice team, very sound team. But so are the Jets. So why not us?
Yeah, I definitely agree. This game is for the division title for right now. Whoever wins will be in first place in the division and probably one of the first place in the AFC. And with the schedules that both these teams have, they could be in first place for a while. As each team, the schedule for the AFC East in general this year is fairly light, and the Patriots have played many of their toughest opponents, with the Cowboys and Steelers already going down to the Patriots. And I think whoever wins this game will take sole possession of first place, and they will probably have it for a while.
Mm-hmm. The Jets, I want you to just a little game right here. Just give me a quick win or loss or any other thoughts you might have about the Jets' next four matchups that I'm going to read to you. So after the Patriots, obviously the Jets having their bye, they're going to go straight through to the end of the season. The Jets play the Oakland Raiders following that. What do you think about that matchup?
You just can't. You cannot underestimate them. Derek Carr has been playing great football so far this year. They do. They also are a team that loves to dump it off to their running back, Latavius Murray, and he's had some big games this year. So I just think that you have to. You cannot underestimate that team. You have to really contain Carr, make sure that he can't get. I mean, Cooper's going to be facing Revis the first time. I doubt that he'll have much success, and he's been the main weapon in that offense. So I do think that the Jets will probably come out with a win in that one pretty convincingly.
And moving along to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars are a team that I think actually, with the weapons that they have on offense at least, Blake Bortles has been having an actually terrific season for a second-year quarterback. He actually looks like I believe he's on pace for 4,500 yards, and he's already beaten his touchdown total from last year. So I think that this team has a few very good receiving options in Julius Thomas, Allen Hurns, and Allen Robinson and Hurns. Can't remember his first
Allen
name.
Hurns.
Might be
Hurns. Both Allen.
Yeah. Okay. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. So I do think that with two good wide receivers, Hurns has been having a great season. I could see Cromartie having problems in that game because he has not actually been tested that often this year so far. But I think that Bortles has been crumbling under pressure so far this year. He's been throwing a lot of picks under pressure, and that's how the Jets win that game. And I think that that's another game that the Jets can probably pull away pretty early.
Bortles has been inflating his stats. I see what you're saying there, but I still see the same rookie mistakes from last year to this one. Maybe even more mistakes. He's very aggressive, as his stat sheet would really tell anyone who looks at it. He's fumbling games away. He's throwing interceptions. He's leaving himself pretty vulnerable, not really taking care of his body. I know he had some sort of joint issue last week. But he did play through this past week, and I think the Jets will just obliterate. The Jets defense will obliterate Blake Bortles. I don't think he's ready for this kind of game. I'm looking forward to it though because he's a great player for a young kid in his second year. He's the kind of guy that most people knew that he was going to take a little while to develop, and we're seeing the positives. And I'm just not sure he's going to eliminate the negatives in time for the stellar gangrene defense to get a hold of him. And moving along here to the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills, or is that a home game or the away game?
I am not sure, but you bring up a good point because it does make a difference. The Buffalo crowd in Buffalo is, well, they're crazy. The fans are freaking nuts. But I see what you're saying in asking that because it's a completely different atmosphere up there. It's very hard to win in Buffalo.
And that is, I just checked it. It is a home game, so this is Rex Ryan's
perfect
homecoming. So I do think that Rex will be really determined to pull out a win. This is a game like he's going to address it like the Patriots game last year for him, where it's like a personal issue. He really just wants to pull out the win, show that he deserves to be a head coach in this league. And I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think that's going to be a close one because their defense, like, they haven't been playing terrific so far. Eventually they're going to come around, though. And I could see Rex preparing them very well for that game and being very aggressive to try to make Fitzpatrick make mistakes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Rex takes one here against the Jets. This is a big game for him and for his team. Bills kind of fell off a little bit within the division with a couple of losses, uncharacteristic losses. So, yeah, you never know. Still 4 weeks until that matchup, three and a half weeks until that matchup. So I guess we'll see as time plays out. And the Houston Texans, the Jets are flying over to Houston to play an interconference game with the Houston Texans. How do you think that might shape up?
Houston has so far this year been just like it doesn't make sense because they have all the weapons. They have like DeAndre Hopkins has looked incredible. They obviously have J.J. Watt, Clowney, who's still developing, but like their team has just not been like successful at all. Most of the games they're out of pretty early, and they just basically throw it to DeAndre Hopkins every single play. So I think that with Revis on Hopkins and also maybe with safety help, it's not going to work to throw it to Hopkins every play. And that's their entire offense, especially late in games. That's why this guy is the top receiver in the NFL right now, because he literally gets an incredible amount of targets. And he's Hoyer's or Mallett there. He's both their safety nets. So I just think that whoever we play, whichever quarterback we're playing then, they won't be able to have success just because of the containment that the Jets will have on Hopkins.
So bringing it back to linking this back to the current day Jets schedule, the current day Jets matchup here with the New England Patriots, it's evident that the Jets don't really have and I'm looking at the teams here. Now, there aren't really any teams that pop out at me as teams that, you know, the Jets would easily lose to. Really, any team, I would say. I don't think there's any team in the league right now the Jets would easily go down to, because this is a team that plays to the last whistle. And that's the kind of coach that Todd Bowles was in Arizona, and I'm glad that's the kind of coach that he is here in New York. It's been it's a relatively quick culture change, which has been much needed for the Jets team, and that's why he was brought here in New York. No knock on Rex Ryan's coaching abilities, but it was time for change. I'm sure he knew that, and that's what happened. So with this matchup with the Patriots, it's winnable. It's out there, because games after that are winnable, and the games after that for the Patriots are winnable. So, you know, as the season approaches the halfway point, and it will get past the halfway point after the Jets matchup with the Texans, this game is much more important than people think. So, as we wind down here on the show, I'm just going to ask you for a brief summary of, you know, how you think the Jets might fare in this game, and maybe even a score projection.
I think that the Jets defense is going to, like, they're going to give up points, obviously, because you can't just stop the Patriots from scoring, but they're not going to, like, I could see the Patriots probably getting a touchdown off of a Deion Lewis drive where they're doing all these, like, little dinky throws to Deion Lewis, a little quick throws to Edelman, which is how they operate most of the time. But I think that will only happen for maybe a few drives. I could see 20 points for the Patriots, or 20, I'll say 24 points for the Patriots. And then the Jets, I think their offense is going to be able to do well by getting some Marshall. Decker and Marshall. So what the Patriots do is they double-team the number one receiver, and then they put Malcolm Butler on the second receiver. That's what they've been doing so far this year. So Marshall will probably see the double-team, which I could see being a problem for Fitzpatrick, seeing as Marshall's kind of a safety net, kind of just throws it to him a lot, like just throws it up to his way a lot, and with Devin McCourty covering him, I think that could be difficult. I think the Jets can run the ball on the Patriots. I think Chris Ivory will have another great game. He'll probably go past 100 once again. That's what I think, just because the Patriots' run defense has not been superb, and Ivory's just, he's been great so far, like right now. He's in a groove. I think the Jets, I could easily see them losing this game, in which they would score like 14 points. But I could also see them like scoring 28 points, 28-24 or 14-24. That's like, those are the two numbers for me.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's a pretty fair assumption. It could really be a toss up. As you mentioned, it could be a toss up. It could be a runaway game, or it could come down to the wire. And I in this game, 9 out of 10 games, it could be a blowout, but I'm saying this game, this one game, could be one that comes down to the very end of it. And I think that this Jets team wants it more. I think that this Jets team is the more determined team, the team that's been working harder for this game right here in front of them this Sunday. So I'm not going to put an exact number figure on it. I think it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game, low-scoring affair. But listen, I don't think Tom Brady's going to have an easy day at all. I don't think Rob Gronkowski is going to have an easy day at all. I don't even think Julian Edelman is going to catch as many balls as he usually does. And he very well could. If Tom Brady sees the type of off coverage that Edelman's been given, or off coverage enough to the point that he can, you know, work, he can get creative with the little space that he's given, you know, maybe he will test out the Jets secondary. But if there's one thing I've seen from this Jets team, is that they just this team adjusts quickly, and they do it effectively, and as if they've prepared for it, which they do. They prepare for it. Everything they see on the field so far, almost everything that that's plagued them early on in the game, they've seemed to correct. And that's what football is all about, making the best of your mistakes, converting them into successes. Patriots did that with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. That route that he caught that game-sealing interception on, he messed up a few times in practice, got it right there, and I don't see why that can't work in our favor this game.
I definitely agree. I understand. I see what you're saying. And I do think that the Jets will have an opportunity to win this game. Their defense will give them a chance. It's just, for me, whether Fitzpatrick can avoid interceptions, what kind of mind games Bill Belichick can throw at him to try to get him to throw an interception, and how he can avoid it. Because I don't think that he'll be able to rely on Marshall as much as he usually does. And I think that somebody else is going to have to emerge, whether it be Decker on Butler. I think Decker can beat Butler, but Butler he's come up big in a few of these games. So I do think that that's the key, just having it's whether Fitzpatrick can avoid mistakes and whether the receivers can beat these corners.
And I leave you – we leave you tonight, Jets fans, and – me specifically, I'm going to leave you with two words, and those two words are mental toughness, because that's what it's going to take for this Jets team to sustain its success, not only this week, but weeks after that. And we'll see how tough this Jets team really is as this season progresses. And Tuff, thank you very much for joining me. And both of us are very much looking forward towards this Sunday. And as always, JETS, 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 Jets.
Thank you, Evan. It's been a good week, and we'll be back next week at a normal time at 7:30. This week we're letting you guys have time to see the Mets play later. We'll see if they can bring home, get to the World Series for New York and bring it home for an underdog team like the Jets have been in the past. Well, it's been good, and we'll see you guys all next week.
Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up. First shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby for the game. Nope, y'all can't copy up. Glad, moonwalking. And this here is a party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music. I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-
people's out here, and now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, and now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Here we go back, this is the moment. Tonight is the night, we'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't.
Go fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We raw, time to go off, gone. Deuces, goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands, this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
And we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night.